Welcome to Freedom Trainer Radio, the podcast where we interview top-level fitness entrepreneurs from all over the world. Here's your host, AJ Rivera.
All right. Welcome to Freedom Trainer Radio. My name is AJ Rivera. I'm here with my buddy Corey Gladwell, CMO. He's also a business partner on other stuff I do. All-around cool guy. And we're going to talk about work-life balance today. So Corey, thanks for taking the time to jump on here with me. I really appreciate it. And I think this is just going to end up being like half hopefully teaching people and maybe half just a therapy session for me. Maybe by the end of it, I'll cry.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll probably buy something from you and that'll be it.
What I'm here for. What I'm here for.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about how the work-life balance. The reason I asked Corey to be on here is because he was willing. No, because Corey and I have both been business owners, entrepreneurs since we were 18 years old. Corey, what was your first business? Can you give some people background in case they're like new to the podcast or whatever?
Yeah. So, you know, as a kid, obviously I tried to start whatever I could before I was 18. My first business at 18 was real estate. And I got into real estate and then started a real estate company. And then from there, did a nightclub, a restaurant, a vodka brand. And then, you know, after that kind of got me burnt out, I went into becoming an author, had a spiritual experience, and then decided to meditate and write books. So I became an author and a coach and a marketer as well.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's just a little bit of like Corey's background. My background was when I was 18, I went to college and I was like, I need a part-time job and people don't like to hire me for whatever reason. And so I was like, I know, I'll be a personal trainer. That's a, like, you know, you can charge $100 an hour, thinking that that's how much I would actually take home, like an idiot. And so I went and I wasn't even in the best of shape. Like, I was athletic in high school. I played sports. I played like, I was a captain of the soccer team, and I ran track and a couple little things here and there. I played baseball one of the years. And so I was always athletic, but I wasn't like, you know, super, I was scrawny. Like, I was a real skinny guy. Right. And so I was like, I want to be a personal trainer because I think I can, and I need a job. And so I called I remember taking all the money in my savings account. I went and bought an actual, I bought a bunch of protein powder, like the Walmart brand protein and creatine. And I don't know if you knew this about me, Corey. This is probably a story I haven't really relayed to you. And then I went and took the rest of the money from my savings and signed up for a certification, which was the ACE, the American Council on Exercise, which is one of the better, you know, certifications, more regarded ones. And that was pretty much all the money I had sitting in my savings. And then I called the most jacked friend I had. And I said, hey, dude, I need you to teach me how to be in shape. And so I went from there to like getting in shape so that I could, you know, I wasn't going to try to, one, I didn't think anybody would want to buy personal training from a scrawny guy, which I think I was wrong. But two, I was like, how can I teach other people something I haven't done? So I went to get in, you know, pretty good shape. My mom thought I was on steroids. She still will randomly ask me, like, she's like, hey, teenage AJ. You on steroids? I'm like, no. It was just like those noob gains you get when you're, you know, when you first start hitting it hard. You know, ever since then, that kind of like is how I started my like entrepreneur journey. I went to work at a few places as a trainer, quickly found you don't make any money. So then I started a boot camp. I opened some gyms. Then I started going into more of the coaching, consulting world, marketing world. And so now I own, you know, a couple different businesses, all in either coaching or marketing or things like that. So that's kind of been my journey. And one of the things me and Corey, I guess, bond about is having never really worked for somebody else. It's like you can end up on two extremes. I don't know if this is you, man, but for me, I know when I started, like, I was like, I'm going to do as little work as possible because that's what a business owner does. And then I went to the other entire side of the spectrum where, like, I was working so much because you can, and you see the return and the fruits of your labor. But then my whole identity started getting soaked up in my business. I don't know. Has that been your experience at all? Am I alone in this?
No, you're spot on. Like, when I was 18, I got into real estate. That's why I got into real estate. So I was like, these real estate agents don't have to work. You know, you just like, you can just like show a house on the weekends and then you wear sweats all day during the weekdays. You make some phone calls. So like in my mind, I was like, I just want, that's the thing. I wanted to be lazy. I wanted to work the least amount possible and make the most amount of money. And then, but then as I started getting successful real estate and had my own real estate company, then I started getting opportunities like, you know, the nightclub and the restaurant and the vodka brand. And that all happened in like a 3 month period, by the way. So like by like February 2010, I had like three or four like huge companies. And I was like doing everything all the time with everyone. Like I'd go to the restaurant in the morning, make some real estate phone calls in the afternoon, hit the nightclub at night, then try to manage the vodka brand. And yeah. And so that's like, by the time that like 2 years of that went down, I was like on burnout mode, like just destroying myself because I was wrapped up in it. Like I thought I was the nightclub owner guy. I thought I was the restaurant owner. Like I, that's who I thought I was. And I was attached to it. And then if it had a, if like one of the businesses had a bad day, then all of a sudden I was a bad person. And it was like this horrible letdown and yeah, roller coaster.
Yeah. No, I mean that, that like 100% has like been my experience. I've had a, I think, especially like not even 6 months ago, I think I still get like little pictures of it, but luckily they're like 24-hour episodes and they go away, of like having my identity wrapped up in my business. And I've told this to you before that actually having you start working with me and my team is what, you know, everybody else here is, it was great. It is great, but it like really messed with my identity because I was like, I was the like the CMO and the CEO, and I was like, this is what I do. I create marketing campaigns, and I run these things. And having a lot of what I need to do go away in a way that's like forward-facing, that people, I guess, see it more, messed with my identity. I'm like, well, who am I? Now that like I'm not broke, now that my business is fine, people are getting helped, everybody on my team is happy, what, who am I? And I like kind of had a little mini existential crisis there. And every couple months, you know, I worked through it. And one of the people who helped me work through it, I think the most, he doesn't even recognize it, is a buddy of mine who has like, he's run several multi-million dollar companies. He lives down in Orange County. On the off chance that he's listening to this, I won't say his name, but he's like, dude, it's because your entire identity is wrapped up in your business. Like you have other things in your personal life that you're just kind of like letting like hang out, right? You need things like, I mean, he took this from like the Tony Robbins or there's a lot of people who teach this, right? Like the Rich Dad Poor Dad, all these, but you need growth and you need significance and you need certainty and you need love and you need all these things in your business. I always forget the fifth one. I don't know why, but you need all these things in your business, in your life. And if you're getting them all from your business, then when you start like scaling your business and you don't get the significance, you know, no longer are people saying, AJ, great job on making this marketing campaign. They're saying, Corey, great job building this marketing campaign, right? Good, great job, you know, this coach for helping this client. Then you start freaking out and you can either start going to into your personal life, right? And, improving those things and seeking those things out and fulfilling them. Or what a lot of people do is they like self-destruct their own business so that they feel like, so that they can feel those feelings again.
And that's a good point that I think I've seen a lot of people do. But I know I did when I had like the nightclub, restaurant and vodka brand all at once.
Yeah.
I, after 2 years of that, I sabotaged it because I was on burnout. And I wanted to be free of the identity attachment I had to it. So I think that's a big part of what drove me to like ruin it so I could rebuild again. And so like, that's something that I've watched over the last 5 years. Like I watched that, like you have that like addiction to the struggle or addiction to being needed. Yeah. And something has to be wrong for you to fix it and like be the savior of the situation or whatever. 100%. And I know that like, I watched that with myself. I'll have days where like everything's so good. There's nothing to worry about with money. Every client's happy. Like everything is good. And you're like sitting there wondering what's wrong. Like trying to like there's gotta be something I'm missing or someone must be unhappy. And it's like, that's just a story that loops back and forth trying to get you like get hooked back into it when you can just have your life, your personal life, be fulfilling and enjoy it and go on hikes or go on retreats or go on, you know, travels or do whatever and actually fulfill yourself in that way and not look for the business to be dependent. But that's, it's so much easier to like, for me to say it than when it's actually happening to myself. And I'm like, wait, this is that thing I was talking about.
Yeah, no, totally. It's super, it's easy to understand intellectually, but it's hard to practice. And I think, I don't know, I was reading for the first time Mark Manson's Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I'm reading it right now.
Love it.
Have you read it?
I haven't. I've heard of it, though, and people have recommended that I read it. So
it's like a super short read. It's pretty good. I'm not even finished with it, but like it's a short read, but it's great. And it's kind of like it's like a personal development book a little bit that hates personal development in some ways. Maybe I'm misspeaking. I'm really pissed off if he ever hears this, but it's like we think that by maybe making more money or whatever, having a family, or let's say you live in an apartment and you go to a house, right, that then your problems are going to go away. And that's like all of our goals. Like, let's get rid of our problems. But problems are always going to exist. You just exchange different problems for other problems. And so you have to be okay. And it's weird because I was talking to my wife about this, and I made a video about it a week or two ago, about like you have to be willing to go through a certain amount of pain and love that pain, take the problems with the rewards that come with that business, whatever it is. And so like I was thinking about that. I'm like, so many entrepreneurs, I feel like, get to a point, business owners of any type, like fitness business, anybody, where like they're successful, right? Everything's fine. And they almost freak out that everything's fine. And they're like, well, what?
Right.
What do I do now? Now that everything's fine, like, shouldn't something be wrong? And sometimes it could be like upper limiting problem. Other times it could be their identity, like you said, wrapped up in that savior mentality, right? Like, I need to be the one who comes in here and fixes this stuff. And it sucks. But I think it's so much work dealing with this. And it sounds like such a first world problem. The problems never go away. You're just exchanging them. And I think when you are okay with that, that's when you can start like making decisions that aren't attached to what other people think about you, right? And that are more attached to your own fulfillment. I don't know.
Go ahead. You're absolutely right. Like that's the thing is that like, but a lot of people don't ever hit the goals that they have. So they never know what exists on the other side of that, right? Like we're so used to either avoiding pain or seeking pleasure. And we usually seek pleasure just to avoid pain, right? Because we're twice likely to avoid pain. And so we spend all this time doing that. But like a lot of people don't actually hit all their goals and targets, right? And a lot of entrepreneurs do more than most because that's the life they're in. But when you get the amount of money that you're looking for, when you get the relationship you're looking for, when you get the place and living situation you're looking for, when you get all these goals, like there's going to come a point where ambition runs out. Like ambition is no longer enough because you've used your ambition to fuel you to hit those like first level goals. And you're going to come to a place of like, what the hell's going on, right? Like,
yeah.
Who am I? Where do I go now? What do I do? Like, I've got everything I want, and I have no clue what I want now or what to do next. And it is the upper limit problem. It's definitely a first world problem, but it's like, it's one of those things that you need to address because you can get lost or depressed or sabotage or do all these crazy negative things to yourself in your life if you don't have like that significance, if you don't have that deeper meaning or bigger passion as to like what you want to do next with it or how you want to grow further or that sense of like who I am without my attachment to the outside world, like telling me who I am, if that makes sense.
No, totally. And I think that's potentially like that's important, but it also could be that you don't need to grow, right? Like it could be that, like, and I know that sounds like such like a giving up attitude. It's not necessarily what I'm going to do in obviously all areas of my life, but it might be that like, hey, you have everything you want in your life. You don't need to grow because you're afraid if you don't grow, it's going to go away, right? That's like I feel like that's a huge motivation I've seen personally. Like, I mean, you and I both know a lot of like 6, 7, 8 figure entrepreneurs, right? And like a lot of, especially I feel like the 6 to 7 figure ones, they're like, they want to keep growing because they're afraid if they stop growing that they're going to shrivel up and die. And I think there's some truth to like, if you're not growing, you're shrinking, but it doesn't mean you have to be growing your business, right? You can be growing in other ways. Like you can maybe learn that language you wanted to learn. You can maybe spend more time with their kids, like you originally said, right? You're like, I'm going to start this business so that I can dictate my own hours so I can drive my kids to school.
Right.
And then you start your business and you're like, well, I can't drive you to school, kid. I got to do this work so that you can eat, you know, like, but really right. you can grow in those ways, whether it's hiring people or learning to work at different times of the day or whatever. And I don't know. I that's what's been, I guess, important for me is knowing that you don't have to grow. Things aren't going to go away because you stopped, like, because you're not, I don't know, at war. I don't know. Is that just me? I feel like there's this war mentality in business sometimes, and
yeah,
I don't like it. I don't know what your thoughts are on it.
I'm 100% with you. I think that's kind of a perspective that we're all kind of raised with. It has to be us versus them, and you have to battle, even if it's like your own inner demon or whatever, you know what I mean? Like yeah. You have to somehow battle something to get to where you are. You have to have this victory mentality. And I think me and you both relate on like, that's not the best route to like really have fulfillment. Like it can motivate you for sure. Like you can go a lot of places with that kind of war mentality, but I think also like if you really want to reach the end goal of what you say you want, you have to kind of let go of that. You have to not try to avoid pain, like feel pain at whatever level of success you're at, like feel joy at whatever level of success you're at, like have acceptance of yourself and your life. Like, you don't, if nothing's wrong, you don't have to go to that 5-day intensive training. Like, you know what I mean? Like I get invited to these things. They're like, it's going to do this, it's going to do that. And I'm like, that sounds cool. But like, I don't have like a lot of things that are broken right now. And I don't really want to go there and try to dig things that I think I should be broken so I can fix things I don't really know I need to fix. It's like, there's a certain level of like always trying to like find broken things and always trying to fix things and always trying to like that battle you're talking about. Like, it's like, it doesn't always have to be that way. You could just like change the story around in your mind and just accept and enjoy the life you have and still grow and move forward without having like be so against something else or think that there's a wrong so you can be right type thing.
No, totally. I'm with you with that, because I think a lot of the personal development books, and I'm thankful for personal development books, I think they serve a purpose,
right.
But I think a lot of times, I think they really serve the people who haven't started to work on themselves yet, right? And in any way, right. And they all of them, there's like, you know, hundreds, and they all serve that one person. And sometimes that one person, what they do is they set unrealistic goals, right? Or they get like a little adrenaline high from, you know, waking up 15 minutes earlier to make their bed, which is a great habit, right? But they get a little adrenaline
right.
high from reading the book, and they do all these things, and then those habits slowly fall by the wayside, and they like hate themselves. And so they go get another book, and they just start the cycle over and over again. And, you know, maybe for some people, that's what it's going to take. Like, I'm not telling you to not read a personal development book. I just might encourage you to, anybody who's listening to this, like, really think about, like, are you solving the core issue? Like, why do you feel the need to consistently improve what you're doing? What are you dissatisfied with what you're doing now? Why aren't you loving yourself or loving the reality you're just currently in? And I think, like,
right.
Here I'm referencing, now I'm going to recommend another personal development book, but like, that's like what, like Loving What Is from Byron Katie did for me. Like for me, that was like the last, I feel like, self-improvement book I needed to read ever.
If you really get her stuff, then it's like that's it. Like you don't need to really do much more if you understand what Byron Katie's saying, like you're pretty much set. Like
totally. And like, you know,
and I write personal development books. So like,
no, it is. And I'm
biting my own butt.
No, it is. Cause it's that, and there's other books that kind of have that similar message. I would say the Mark Manson Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck has a similar message. It's a little bit more in your face. It's a little more brash, which is cool because you can relate to it more, especially if you're, you know, younger or millennial or whatever. Right. But, and I would even say Eckhart Tolle's kind of does that. It's hard to get though, because like even when I
first,
it's not that I'm smarter or whatever. It's just like you're like, what the hell is she talking about? Like I was reading her first book, like or right. the Loving What Is book, and when I first read it, I was like, what is this? How is this helping me? I don't understand that. And I kept reading it, and then I found myself getting super pissed off as I read it, because you're forced to examine yourself. Like, and be cool with who you are, and also let go of resentments you've probably held on to for your whole life. Like, I didn't realize I had resentment towards, like, there was like a buddy of mine who didn't come to my wedding, and like I never told them anything, but I was like super upset about it. And I worked through it. And I'm like, well, come on, like it's just what happened. It's totally fine. And it sounds like such a dumbed down, simplified version of it, but it really, imagine being able to let go of like everything that was, I guess, holding you back in terms of resenting or being angry towards other people. And that is, I think, the ultimate lesson that you need from personal development is, instead of grow, change more, which is fine, don't be attached to if you don't get the more. And you're perfectly fine now on your path to getting more, which is, you know, I think, especially where you're at, I think you are, I think, a good example and friend and colleague for me, because you want more, but you're totally content with your life as it is right now, even though you want like 10 times more, which is fine. So, I mean, that's how it worked for me. I don't know what really helped you. And obviously, I mean, for me, it's still a struggle. I don't know if it is for you, but what helped you or helps you kind of get back into that space?
So like, I think a big thing for me that helps me whenever I'm positive or negative, right? Because like, if I'm really excited or I'm really upset, like both of those extremes usually come from what I know. And Byron Katie helped me see this from a lot of her books, is my story, right? And a lot of people talk about this, the story. Like I've written about the story in some of my books. Byron Katie has, Eckhart Tolle has, like everyone talks about these stories. But like, I realized that like for me, my life could change like zero, and the only thing that can change is my story about it. And I can be either really happy and like full of joy and fulfillment, or I can be really pissed and like angry and resentful. And it's literally just whatever story I want to place on me trying to like identify my outside life, because I'm attached to that story. Like I'm stuck on like, oh, this person's bad, this person's good, this person likes me, this person doesn't. The where I live is good, where I live is bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like all these different judgments that I place on the story of my life and myself.
Yeah.
And then that makes me either happy or sad, right? And so if my like my mental map in my mind matches up with my outer world and how I think everyone and everything should be, then I'm fulfilled. I'm happy. But like, that's why you see people that are like super uber successful, but like miserable, because their inside mind thinks they should have a white picket fence with three kids, and they don't. So no matter how many millions of dollars they have, they're still bummed because their story doesn't match what their life is, right? So like, that's what keeps me going, that like, I don't get attached to like I, obviously we're going to keep growing and we can make $10 million, like multi-million dollar companies. And I'm still going to keep doing that because it's a fun thing to do and I enjoy doing it. But it's not like I think that once I get there, I'm going to somehow be saved, or like I'm going to be looked at a certain way, or the world's going to like give me some special prize and golden sticker star. And, you know, my mom's going to finally be proud of me, or some, you know, some kind of thing that's going to happen once I arrive, quote unquote. You can't see my quotes, but I'm doing quotes in the air. But like once I arrive, and the thing is, you're never going to arrive until you just mentally accept that like you're already there and you just enjoy the process. Then everything comes from like a place of like non-attachment, and you can really actually enjoy the businesses, or you can enjoy the art or the content creation or whatever it is that you're putting out in the world without this like hope that once you do it, the world will accept you. It's like, you just got to accept yourself and change that story about how you think you and your world is.
Totally. Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. It reminds me a little bit of the like the story of, I think the guy's name is like Dave Mustaine. Maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, or you, if you know this, but he was the guy who got kicked out of a band and he went on to start Megadeth. And that was like, you know, Megadeth's one of the most successful metal bands of all time. But the band he got kicked out of was Metallica. Metallica went on to be the greatest, like by a lot of people's, you know, standards, the greatest metal band of all time. And so the guy, like Dave, I think his name's Dave Mustaine. He's like felt like a kind of a failure for even till this day, because his goal, like he kept comparing himself to this other band. And then you got other people who like what's the guy? I was just rereading this. This is why it's top of mind for me. The guy who got kicked out of the Beatles, the drummer, who was then replaced by Ringo. He went on to live a perfectly happy life, even though he was like kind of done with music, and he's like was able to meet his wife and his family, and it's because he was happy with the situation he was in instead of trying to compare it to other people, right? I mean, I think any of us would have taken being the lead singer of one of the greatest bands of all time and, you know, tons of money and all this stuff, and people respect you and everybody loves you, right? Fans and all this stuff. And he's still feeling like he didn't make it because he's always comparing himself to another band. And there's always going to be somebody better at something than you. And I don't know. It's gonna just keep bumming you out, and you'll never be satisfied. And it's really easy to say. It's harder to practice for sure. So
it for sure is, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. What have you been doing to help with that kind of stuff? Like you personally, is there anything like anybody who's listening? Because I know you're a little bit more into like the personal growth space than I am.
Yeah, so I do meditations. I like a meditation group in Long Beach, and then I do Kundalini yoga from time to time. Not like, you know, every day or anything crazy, but like time to time. And then I also, you know, I have a shaman that I work with that I, you know, suggest people find those kind of people, because, you know, for me, like I'm like anyone else, where like I'm hard headed in the sense that like I believe what I believe, and it's hard for me to like get past my own thought process of what I believe. As smart as I can be, or as much as I can read or study or meditate, like I can still get stuck in like what I think things are and how I think things are. Mm-hmm. So like, I like working with someone like the shaman, who I'm going to see on Friday, where she like can ask me these questions that like go beyond the kind of the thought process I'm having and help me break free of things. And so like cool people like that, like the yoga instructors are like that too, where like we do different like healing things. And so it's not like any of these people like I think are going to save me, or it's going to be, there's more quotes in the air, by the way, but they're going to save me or fix me or anything like that. It's just, I like staying open and having these different like modalities to like kind of break free of different thoughts and break free of different things. And it keeps me in a place of being open-minded. Therefore, I don't get like any rigid specific thought on like how I think I need to grow or fix or whatever. It's just more like fun and playful. And I get to keep finding new ideas, new concepts, and I get to enjoy it. And so I don't have to compare myself to like the outside world or another entrepreneur or other people out there. I don't have to like make myself like, oh, if I'm like them, because then we're back in that battle mentality, that war, that us versus them thing. Where like, if I beat them or whatever, then all of a sudden I win some game. But I don't want to win a game against anyone else. I want to like win the game of myself and enjoy myself and my life as much as possible. So, I don't know if that answered the question or not.
No, that does. Like, I think that's important. Like, do you want to win the game or do you want to be happy? And if some smart ass decides to say, well, winning the game will make me happy. No, it won't. Because there's too many people who've won their games and are unhappy. Like, I think you need to be satisfied with where you are now. And I don't know, when I was younger, I was always like, well, I could die tomorrow and YOLO. I got to live like there's, you know, like there is no tomorrow. And in some ways, like, that's just me being immature on not wanting to do things that grown-ups do. But in other ways, like, today was your last day, not, hey, would you travel the world or eat, pray, love or anything like that, but would you be perfectly satisfied with what you're doing right now? Like, and really, you don't have a choice if today's your last day. So take all the good from where you're at and choose to embrace that instead of dwelling on all these things that are going to bum you out, because it's just you. It's just your brain, right? It's not actually good or bad. Like, you're choosing to experience things how you want to experience things. What's that story of the guy who saw the snake in the road? He found out and he was horrified, and he found out it was a rope, and then so he was calm, right? Nothing actually changed.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
It's just how he decided to respond to it, right? Like, there was never an actual snake there, right? Like, and even if there was, like, the only thing that changes is that he or she, right, is choosing to respond with fear as opposed to, oh, I guess there's, you know, a creature there. And I think a lot of times things in our life end up being ropes when we think they're really snakes, right? They're these neutral things, and we choose to attach negative emotions to it, maybe because we're too afraid to approach it or whatever, right? We've been told there's lots of snakes here. We've been told it's supposed to be a negative thing. I think that's I don't know if that's just me ranting for nothing. I think this whole podcast.
No, that was solid. That was solid.
That was solid. All right. We can keep that. Good. Good, because I don't want to edit too much stuff. All right. Cool, man. So I think for me, too, because, you know, you're a little more woo-woo in some practices, I think. I think we're probably equally woo-woo. I think your practices are a little more woo-woo than me. I think if you're somebody who's listening to this who deals with stuff that is, like, always comparing yourself to others or you resent people, the great practice, I mean, I would read Byron Katie's Loving What Is. I think starting with some meditation is pretty cool. Because that's like one of the only times, like even like a Headspace app or even do like a 1 minute meditation for like 6 months, I did a 1 minute meditation. And it usually went longer. The reason I made it 1 minute was because I knew I could commit to a minute because everybody has a minute, right? And so I actually got the practice in. And there were some days that 1 minute felt way better than like a 30 minute meditation. So I think just that practice of really being okay, like, and I get if you're like not into meditation, if you think it's a religious thing, like you can pray, you can just sit and listen to nothing. Like you don't have to make it a religious thing or a spiritual thing. It can just be like a mental clarity thing where you're sitting there and you just are accepting the world exactly how it is right now in your life. And that's you practicing being okay with how things are. Yeah. It's very powerful. It's the difference, you know, I think between me being miserable and instead of having a 24-hour episode that bums me out, just sinking into a depression and wanting to go eat pizza and coconut ice cream and cry on the couch, which is what I used to do. My wife points that out to me. JD, she points that out to me all the time where she's like, I'm surprised your hand. Like, she's like, and she's really encouraging and helpful, but she's like, You're doing a good job with this. I'm like, I am? She's like, normally by now you'd be like drinking some scotch, eating some ice cream, eating a pizza. I'm like, I was like, I guess that's right. When you met me, you did. And quicker to anger. And so I think by practicing being okay with your life as it is, it'll help you actually become okay with. And it's never going to be at least in my experience. Maybe somebody else knows better. I'm not an expert in this, but just for me, that's what's really worked, and it's really helped me balance my personal life and finding significance and being okay with everything in that, and making that where I drive, like making that the driver of my life, and not just my business. My business is important; it offers me certainty, but it's not the point of my life. And I think when I started doing that and realizing that my business wasn't the point of my life is when I started to attract really high level talent like you and, you know, Cahal and all the other people. Like, we have amazing people on our team. Right. And yeah. I think it's because I was not attached to my identity within the business, but rather who it can impact. And so it's like a catch 22, right? When you stop caring about your ego in the business, that's when your business will make more money and have a bigger impact, but you have to kind of not care about that first. Sounds backwards. Sounds like made up advice, but it's real, I swear. All right, dude. I think any closing thoughts for anybody who's listening about work-life balance that you want to share, since I know you're not always going to be on here. Maybe you will. Maybe I'll come.
You know, I think just like looking at your own motivations, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously, like, you know, relationships and your health, mental, emotional, and physical, and your financial well-being, like those three things, like, take up a majority of everyone's lives. And I think, like, just taking a look at the motivations as to why you want to do things and actually trying to figure out if you really need to do all the things you need to do or if there's, like, an attachment there. I mean, I think there's, like, a lot of freedom to be had in like accepting exactly how things are and where you're at, and then challenging the reasons that you're trying to get to where you want to get to. And you may end up, and I say that not to say like, don't go after your goals. I say that just to kind of like vouch for what you just said, that like, if you restructure some of the motivations you have, you may actually get to your goals a lot faster than you initially would have if you didn't. So just question yourself a little bit.
Awesome, dude. All right, cool. I think we'll wrap it up here and call it a day. For those of you guys listening, we are restructuring kind of our schedule because we know we've been a little all over the place just because I don't know. That's just how I live my life, I guess. So I'm trying to get a little bit more order in here. Me and Corey both, I think, because we're juggling so many. We're juggling like 10 balls each, and we're wearing like 7 hats each. So we're trying to get a little more order so we don't lose our minds here. So every Tuesday, we're going to release a podcast-only episode. This is different than AJTV's. AJTV's will be uploaded to the podcast also, but we will have specific podcast interviews where we come in here and give you different either personal development stuff like this episode or fitness business stuff. We may have interviews with trainers and things like that, but most of the interviews we'll do on the AJTV. Just because then you get to see their bright and shining faces too. So, so make sure you're subscribed if you're not, and connect with us on the other stuff, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all that fun stuff, and you'll get all the updates. All right. All right. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Sweet.
Thanks so much for listening to Freedom Trainer Radio with your host, AJ Rivera. We'll catch you next time.